the meeting, please, with item 3, P182482/2, 133 Knightsthorpe Road. Are you speaking to this, please, Mrs. Jones? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This application is for a change of use from a house of multiple occupation, so C4 use, into a large house of multiple occupation, which is sui generis use, at 133 Knightsthorpe Road in Loughborough. The item has been referred to Plans Committee at the request of Councillor Tillotson, whose concerns are set out at the beginning of the report. The application property is a detached hip-roof bungalow to the north side of Knightsthorpe Road, close to the junction with Millington Street. The property has a gravelled frontage and driveway with car parking for one vehicle at the front and two tandem down the side of the dwelling. The property has a recognised lawful use as a C4 HMO and it has 6 bedrooms. And the use and that use predates the Article 4, which came in 2012. The proposal is to use an attic storeroom as an additional bedroom, bringing the total number of bedrooms within the property up to 7, which would amount to a change of use from C4 to a sui generis large HMO. The application is for change of use only and doesn't include any external changes. So, if I just point it out, this room, this is the attic area. It's currently got two bedrooms served with roof lights and a toilet and a storeroom, and it's that storeroom that is proposed to be used as a bedroom. The remaining bedrooms are downstairs, along with the main bathroom, a living area, and kitchen. This plan also shows the parking arrangements, so members will remember that there was a railings across the front and a gap with the driveway, and it shows one parking space to the front and two along the side. The relevant development plan policies and material considerations are set out on pages 43 to 47 of your report. And members will also see from the report that we've received no objections from Environmental Health or the Council Housing Standards Officer. We have received an objection from Councillor Tillotson, and members' attention is also drawn to the extras report, which sets out an objection from a local resident. So, if we move on to the key considerations, and I'll broadly go in the same order as I've set out in the report anyway. So the starting point for a decision-making on any applications is that it must be made in accordance with the development plan policies unless material considerations indicate otherwise. With regards to the principle of development, the site is located in Loughborough in an established residential area, which is within easy walking and cycling distance to facilities and services within the town centre. Bus stops are located on Knightsthorpe Road with frequent services to the town and district shopping centre. Loughborough is also considered an appropriate and suitable location for housing development. Therefore, the use in principle is considered acceptable and in line with policy CS3. With regards to the effect of the proposal on the character of the area, the Council has an adopted threshold of 20% with regards to saturation for houses of multiple occupation within 100 metres radius of the application site. According to the Council's database, there are calculated to be 64 residential properties within this 100-metre radius of 133 Knightsthorpe Road, with only one of those, which is this property, being within HMO use. This gives a saturation distance of just 1.6%. It is accepted, as you will see in the report, that there are a number of HMOs just outside of that 100 metre circumference. But even if you take those into account, it's below seven, it's around 5%. Therefore, we don't think that there is an imbalance, especially given this already is in its HMO use. With regards to antisocial behaviour, noise and disturbance, obviously have to rely on evidence that's available to us. In the last 12 months, there's been 5 reported incidents of antisocial behaviour on Millington Street. None of these complaints have related to noise. It's important to note that the lawful use exists for up to 6 bedrooms, and this needs to be considered when we're considering the impact on amenity. Officers' considerations regarding noise and disturbance and the impact of these can be found on pages 49 of the report. And you'll see from the report it was concluded that it was felt that one additional bedroom is unlikely to cause a significant additional noise and disturbance that would warrant the refusal of planning permission. This is included in this assessment. We included the fact that this is a detached property. In the event, with regards to bin storage, the property has ample amenity space and driveway, and bin storage could be easily provided. With regards to highway safety, the application proposes 3 parking spaces, which is the standard set out for dwellings with 4 or more bedrooms, and the Highway Authority have raised no objections to the proposal. It's not considered that the proposal would have a significant or unacceptable impact on highway safety grounds. And for the reasons given in the report, it's considered that the proposed change of use would not result in an overconcentration of HMOs in the area, or would result in further significant impacts on the community imbalance. Furthermore, the proposal would not result in harm to the residential character or amenity of the area, and the proposal is considered to comply with the development plan policies, and for that reason it's recommended that planning permission is granted.
Thank you, Mrs. Jackson. We have just one speaker, and that's Councillor Jenny Tillotson. When you're ready, Councillor Tillotson, you know the drill.
Thank you, Chair. As we've heard, this property was a family home and is currently a house in multiple occupation. We've heard the proposal changes the use of an attic storeroom into a bedroom. This is one more bedroom, one more occupant, changing further the community balance in the area. I've been told that there has been in the past more noise and other antisocial behaviour than would normally be expected from a family home from this property. One more bedroom increases the likelihood of this happening in the future. Parking in the area is already difficult. The property already accommodates 6 individuals, potentially each having a car. This property has 3 parking spaces, meaning there could potentially be 4 extra cars needing to park on the street in front of other people's homes. And the only way to access the 3 parking spaces that there are is to either reverse into or out of the drive onto what is, at times, a very busy road. And clearly this is unsafe. The reality is most Loughborough students who live off campus do have a car. So although, yes, Mrs. Jackson's absolutely right, the property is within easy access of local facilities. But the reality is, regardless of that, Loughborough students off campus have cars. So this property could already have 6 cars, and the likelihood is, with a further bedroom, it will have 7. So I would like committee to refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you. I have three councillors wishing to speak. Councillor Bentley, Councillor Seaton and Councillor Campbell. Are there any other councillors who want to speak at this stage, please? Thank you, Councillor Tassel. Councillor Bentley, please.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just ask if there's been any comment by County Highways at all in respect of parking at this location?
The application falls under what they class as standing advice. So they'll advise what number of parking spaces need to be provided and also the sizes. If it doesn't comply, then we will go and talk to them. This proposal complies with the three parking spaces and they all meet County Highway standards in terms of their size. So as far as they're concerned, it complies with their standards and they don't need us to... They didn't need to formally comment.
Thank you, Jackie. In that case, then, I would like to move officer recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. I will take from other councillors first. Councillor Seaton, please.
Thank you. I'm going to start this off with a question, if I can. On the last... application, we limited it to 6. Can we limit this to 7?
If members are minded to think that that's a, you know, that that's a concern for them, then yes, they can. I suppose there's more reason for concern on this one because you're, unlike the last one where they were changing the use class, once you're in sui generis, there's no upper limit, so yes, that is something that's available to limit by condition if considered necessary, and the reasons, you know, just clarify.
If the proposer was of mind to accept that, then I would second that proposal with that condition, and I think the concern would be that there is enough room to extend that property with I can see 4 bedrooms running down the side, so you could extend it with another 4 bedrooms potentially, and that would be seriously detrimental to the area, and that would be, that and if we don't put a limit of 7, they don't have to come back they'll have to come back to get planning permission on the extension, but it would be harder. So, if that's acceptable to you, thank you. I'll second it.
Thank you very much, Councillor Seaton. Councillor Campbell, please.
Yeah, I'd just like to back up Councillor Tillotson's claims about how busy the road is. It's only a narrow road. Traffic already takes shortcuts from the Derby Road up to Epinal Way, you see. People can't double park now. They have to have the edges ripped out so they get off the road. I mean, what's happening? You're making this place into a mini hotel. And I think it's just too much for the area, so I'm not too sure about accepting officers.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Tassel, please.
Yes, I've got to echo the problems with the parking. I actually have a reason to go to the Methodist Chapel, which is exactly opposite this building. Even though the Methodist Chapel has got a car park at the back, it's totally inadequate, and most of us have to park on the road. There is also a bus service down there, which, okay, it would service this building, but the buses occasionally cannot get through because of the parking. They have to come in and fetch us out. One of my worries is the fencing on the front and the way the parking has been put in. To reverse into the... You've either got to reverse in or reverse out of the parking area at the front or at the back, or the two on the side, you've got to reverse out. I don't think that's adequate parking for a property that's on the corner of a busy street, Milton Street, and Knightthorpe Road. It doesn't give... I feel that there should be something else looked at for the parking of this property. And also, can I ask and this is a point of clarification, in the roof space, they are also going to keep one room for storage as well as the new bedroom? Am I right?
No, there's currently in the attic two bedrooms, storeroom and a separate toilet, and it would be three bedrooms. So yes. it's only the existing storage area that would become a bedroom.
That's all right, because I was just going to confirm with Councillor Seaton that one of those, if it was a storeroom, could be made yet again into another bedroom and more people. But if it's only that one, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just always concerned when I see a bit of conflict in terms of what we've got before us. And this is around antisocial behaviour, I guess, and problem with noise. We see from our report there's been five recorded incidents over the past year. And then we get a report in from the resident saying that they experience problems with loud music and sociable hours and in the summer when the windows are open. It's always a concern to me that people don't report this, because this would be totally different if we had some reports in front of us to say that there was an issue with noise. And I really recommend that we do tell as councillors, our constituents, that we do have to have this information and so we can actually act on it. And it's always a concern to me that we get this conflicting information coming through. The one thing, I think I mentioned this this afternoon, I just wanted to make sure that the space in the bedroom meets our requirements for the size of the bedroom.
Yes. I'll just get their proper title. Our housing standard officer, who is within the team that deal with the licensing, has considered the application. They've looked at the plans, the scale plans, and have raised no objection. Now, if there was a problem in terms of the room sizes not complying with the Housing Act, they would flag that up, and they've said that it is in compliance with their legislation.
Does anyone else wish to speak, please?
I need to come back, Chair, to say that I'd like to see a limit of seven at this property.
So, Councillor Beckley, you're proposing?
Correct, but limited to seven persons.
Yes.
As per...
Yes.
Brenda Seaton's suggestion.
Sorry. Yes, I wanted to clarify that myself. So this is a proposal with, and you're happy to accept Brenda's restrictions. So that's what we're voting for.
Could I suggest that you use the word occupants rather than people? Just make it clear, you know.
So, Mr. Jackson, what we're saying is that this house, should we go through, we are restricting it to seven occupants.
Yes.
Thank you. We have a proposer. We have a seconder. Could I see a show of hands to accept officer's recommendation, please? Those against? Thank you. And I abstain. Colleagues. Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. We come to the final item this evening. Our old friend Reek Valley Craftsman Limited at Thrissington. We need to be, I'm sure we'll be told later, but we need to be clear that what we're being asked to discuss this evening is condition 11. Thank you. And then I will, am I handing over to you, Ms. Hallam? Or to Ms. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So before you today is an important matter that I've been dealing with, and it's with regard to Reek Valley Craftsmen, who are an existing woodworking business that occupies the site and was granted planning permission in 2016 under planning permission P15-2236/2 to redevelop the site. And as part of that permission, a dust extraction unit to the front of the site was granted planning permission. The committee had previously considered applications on the site, one of which was related to the soundproofing, proof boarding around the base of the extraction unit. The history in relation to the dust extraction unit is very complex. The report before you today is in respect of failing to comply with Condition 11, which was attached to planning permission P15-2236/2. This condition relates to the requirement to provide and install noise mitigation measures in respect of the dust extraction unit. I'll just go through the site and where the dust extraction unit is located. So this is the site here, and it's outlined in blue, with the dust extraction unit outlined in red, or its approximate location. And there's just an aerial view there, again with the red line outlined where the dust extraction is approximately. So this is the dust extraction unit, and this is the soundproofing boarding that was previously granted permission. And this is the elevation that is facing the closest neighbour to this piece of equipment. This has the dampening sheets on it at the moment. Sorry. So basically, condition 11, which is what I would be enforcing against, states that prior to the installation of any fixed mechanical plant at the site, a detailed acoustic assessment must be supplied to and approved by the local planning authority. The assessment shall examine noise levels generated by the said item of plant, how these would affect nearby residential amenity, and specify, if appropriate, noise reduction measures to achieve a predictable level equal to or below the measured background L90 level at any adjacent dwellings. This acoustic assessment would require to be signed off by the LPA and the findings of such incorporated within the scope of the development. The reasons for this condition was to protection of residential amenity in the vicinity of the site. So from an enforcement point of view, we have to look at this condition very carefully. And it breaks down into four components. So the first component of that condition was to require an acoustic assessment to be provided. And this was provided and approved via P16 15282. The second part was that the required acoustic assessment needed to specify, if appropriate, noise reduction measures to achieve a predicted level equal to or below the measured background level. The report was submitted and did contain such measures. The next part of the condition required that the acoustic assessment be approved by the local planning authority. The report was approved under application P16-1528/2. So the final part of the condition was that the required findings of the acoustic assessment to be incorporated within the scope of the development. There is one final outstanding measure that hasn't been undertaken, and this is the fitting of the dampening sheets on three sides of the unit hasn't been undertaken. So from an enforcement point of view, the council can only require the final measures of installing the dampening sheets on the three final elevations outlined in the acoustic report be undertaken and nothing more. So the recommendation is to take no further action. And the reasons behind this is that in this instance, as the condition does not require a specific noise level to be achieved, the most recent noise assessment that we've had taken of the dust extraction unit indicates that it's within 1 to 2 decibels of the background noise. Also, colleagues from our environmental health team who are sitting with me today have advised that an increase or decrease of less than 3 decibels it will not be perceivable by most adults. So, in addition, the condition does not require that the mitigation measures that the report required to be undertaken be maintained or retained in perpetuity. So, from an enforcement point of view, it's not considered necessary, reasonable, or proportionate to require the 3 remaining sides of the dust extraction unit to be fitted with dampening sheets. It is therefore recommended that no further action be taken in respect of achieving compliance with Condition 11. If the committee are minded not to agree with this recommendation to take no further action, then a breach of condition notice can be issued to require dampening sheets be installed on the final 3 elevations of the unit. The committee must, however, be aware that the developer would have the right to challenge any action, but this would be in the courts, as there is no mechanism to challenge the notice via the planning inspectorate, such as an appeal. The committee are reminded that paragraph 58 of the MPPF states enforcement action is discretionary and local planning authorities should act proportionately in responding to suspected breaches of planning control. So therefore it is considered that because of the reasons that I've set out in this, and set out in the report, it is not expedient to take any further action in respect of this item. Now the committee are reminded that there's an extras report on this we had late comments from Thrushington Parish Council, who I understand are speaking, and a local resident. You will note that they've raised a couple of points that are not to be considered in this meeting today, that are still ongoing matters that I am dealing with. So I'm quite happy to take any questions, and thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Hallam. Would any council like to speak? I do beg your pardon. We do have some speakers. I have, from the objectors, I have a Mrs. Verity Munden, and I also have down Miss Candide Brewster. Are either of those two ladies here? You are. Would you like to come forward, Ms. Munden? And
the lady, as she said, Ms. Brewster's not speaking. She'll take the
fine, yes. If you switch your microphone on, you have 5 minutes, Ms. Mundell. When it reaches 4 minutes, I will tell you there is 1 minute left. Thank you.
I'm Verity Munden and I live next door to the site at number 31. The first item we have to consider are the noise assessment reports referenced in the report to the committee, noting that in April 2018, to ensure a fair and reasonable approach, the council instructed an independent noise consultant to complete a noise assessment report. These reports cannot be relied upon as being accurate nor reasonable. The first report doesn't include any actual readings. It's an estimate, as an actual reading could not be taken due to extraneous noise. It didn't explain how it reached a magical figure of 41 decibels, which Richard Bennett also recognised as an issue. It used estimation methods which were not suited or applicable to the layout of the site, and the report author himself said they were not precise nor ideal in the given circumstances. He even had a section titled Uncertainty, stating it is necessary to report the level of uncertainty in the data and associated calculations. I strongly disputed the validity of the report, and eventually a second report was undertaken, which reported a noise level of 42 to 43 decibels, which you have in your possession. However, what you aren't being told is that this report was taken after a single visit at midnight when the factory was closed and the fan was turned on but not being used. This is a totally misrepresentative position. You have to add at least 3 or 4 decibels for background noise, which would mean a noise level of 45 to 46 decibels, let alone considering the noise of the fan when it is in use. The committee cannot possibly make any determination on this case without an accurate noise assessment report. The council has a qualified team whose job includes noise assessment. They can and should undertake a noise assessment and report back accordingly. This should be based on a series of visits at different times of day when the factory is operational. Andrew McParland from the environmental team started this process over a year ago and it was abandoned. It took 7 months for the council to provide us with a copy of the second report also. Secondly, the condition was created for the protection of residential amenity. It stipulates that the findings of the original noise acoustic assessment should be included in the development as constructed. The original assessment specified a noise target of 36 decibels as it used a British standard mandated by Bev Green, which included a penalty of 5 decibels for tone and impulsivity. How now, after two and a half years of trying and failing to get the applicant to achieve the agreed noise target, 41 in the council's eyes, can they possibly now turn round and say there's no requirement to meet a noise level? They say they've taken advice, but they've refused to share this advice. I see no grounds for the change in stance. And if indeed the condition cannot be enforced, then it's another example of the council's failing in this case. The change in stance needs to be fully explained and the advice shared and the opportunity to consider it by the committee and the public. Thirdly, the applicant's now seeking permission not to complete the agreed noise reduction measures of the 3 remaining dumping sheets on the grounds that access is difficult. This requirement was the condition of yet another planning application specifically designed to target noise reduction, and there's no justifiable basis for this work not to be completed. Every time we've met in the last 2 years, it's either been for the applicant to seek approval of unauthorised works or to seek permission not to complete work which has previously been mandated as part of agreed plans to the detriment of the village and local residents. The committee should insist on the completion of this works in the interest of residential amenity, and it sets a dangerous precedent to set conditions and then not insist they're completed. This case has been shambolic. The council has made fundamental mistakes and has failed in its duty to follow its own planning process and critically to protect residential amenity. Let's not forget that the 25-foot fan itself never appeared on the planning portal and the public were denied their right to know and object. It should never have been allowed. The council want to sweep this under the carpet and make it go away. There's another noise issue at the rear of the site when a building was demolished and yet another fan revealed, which was confirmed as an immediate noise issue and is still operating above 48 decibels today. In summary, the committee cannot make any determination on this case without a reliable and robust noise assessment. The target of 41 decibels should prevail, and any advice commissioned by the council to justify their change in stance must be shared and fully considered. The applicant should be made to complete the works which were agreed as a condition of the latest planning application, and there is no justifiable reason for this work to be abandoned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. London. We have Ms. Lizzie Mortram on behalf of the applicant, please. I believe you know the drill, Ms. Mortram.
My name is Lizzie Mortram. I'm a specialist planning solicitor. There is no criticism of officers in this matter. This is a neighbour complaint which has been properly investigated by the council, and my client has cooperated to make voluntary improvements for his neighbour. Reek Valley Craftsman is a local business deserving of local pride and support. Based in Thressington since 1950, it is a small family business and it employs 22 people full-time. The first sign of difficulty was when the neighbour threatened the council with legal action to assert that the factory does not have planning permission for the extraction unit. It is beyond question that the business does have planning permission for this extraction unit, and the neighbour withdrew that legal action against the council. Next, the focus of complaint shifted to whether the appearance of the unit could be changed. It was agreed to paint the unit brown to lessen the impact of the aluminium finish. This was done at my client's cost and voluntarily, and he made a planning application for the changes. It was then asserted that the noise was excessive. The factory agreed to expert noise tests. They voluntarily added noise insulation to the extraction unit and made a planning application for this. It was identified this week that a repair is needed, and I confirm that this is already fixed. The other three sides have not been enclosed because the expert advice is that this would not change the sound levels experienced by the neighbour. And for safety reasons, inspection chambers and blast doors should not be covered. To be clear, the initial report never stated that enclosure on four sides was essential. It was indicated that this might be useful, but this was before tests were carried out, which show that the enclosure on the neighbour's side is enough. Noise levels have now been tested by two different independent experts on six separate occasions. I will mention that the council had to pay for two independent experts because the neighbour requested a second opinion. The first three recordings put the noise below the limit which the council wishes to achieve. The highest recorded noise levels are agreed to be within 1 or 2 decibels of the target which the council would like to achieve. To put this in context, a difference of 3 decibels is not even perceptible to the human ear. The factory is now quieter than it was before the extraction unit was installed. This is an important thought to dwell on because the neighbour's house is of modern construction built by them next to this factory. It was given planning permission to be built next to this existing factory because the residential amenities were acceptable then. Your officers are now telling you they are still acceptable now. This has been ongoing for 3 years, and your officer is recommending that it is time to draw a line under it. The voluntary works and extra planning applications for the benefit of the neighbour have so far cost in excess of £25,000. The business disruption from the investigation and the cost of expert advice adds to that figure. The extraction unit is fundamental to the business, without which it would have to close, causing the loss of 22 full-time jobs and the end of a business which has been here in Thressington for 70 years. It is a common feature of our rural community that businesses need to coexist with residential neighbours. This is a successful, well-kept and orderly factory. Reek Valley Craftsmen take their responsibility to their neighbours very seriously. They're here tonight. They have plenty of happy neighbours and they contribute a great deal to village life, paying for all of the flower pots and hanging baskets in the village. They've been cooperative, and the purpose of the planning condition has been achieved to protect residential amenity. I ask you please to accept your officer's recommendation that it would not be reasonable, proportionate or necessary, her words, to take this any further. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marjoram. I believe next we have Mr. Edward Guest on behalf of Thressington Parish Council.
Chair and members of the Plans Committee. Noise. Noise is an issue that cannot be avoided, but when you live next door to a facility that generates noise 6 out of 7 days, the only way to avoid it is to move away. It isn't like an eyesore or a badly built building. It actually has a physical impact on the body. In fact, in this case, one resident has already moved away from the village, and another one has had to move into the back bedroom to try and reduce the impact as they're being subjected to noise levels of over 48 decibels in some cases. By the way, Andy McFarlane, one of your experts, says 3 decibels of noise is a 50% change in noise levels. So it is significant. Noise interferes in a complex task performances, modifies social behaviour and causes annoyance and stress. Studies of occupational environmental noise exposure suggest an association with hypertension. When Riek, Van Eck, Craftsman started this development over 2.5 years ago, they knew then what restrictions were placed upon them. As of today, as confirmed by the report just submitted to you, they have not fully complied. The requirements of Condition 11 attached to planning permission P1522362 have not been fully undertaken, to quote. Also, some of the work previously done has already been allowed to fall into disrepair, although interestingly, that has been repaired in the last 48 hours. This is unacceptable and is detrimental to the amenities. The facility has been situated in the village for over 60 years and has managed to live peacefully with its neighbours until the development was changed. Since then, the noise has become a huge issue, not just from the extractor, but also from the factory. Yes, we have two noise reports. The first was an estimation, and not acceptable, as agreed by the council. The second, as already mentioned, was done at midnight, when the extractor was not under full load. So as of today, there is no accurate data that shows the plant meets the stipulated noise levels set out in the conditions by this committee. One of the roles of this plans committee is to safeguard the residential amenities. If you agree to the proposal set before you by the officers, then I believe you are failing in your duties and are also setting a precedent that would allow future developers to ignore conditional planning grants, as is the case here. I ask you that you please support Thruston Village and the Parish Council in trying to minimise the impact of the noise and ensure that this proposal is not accepted, and that the mitigation work to reduce the noise to the stipulated target of 41 decibels is achieved urgently. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Guest. Councillor James Poland, please.
Good evening, members. As the Chair alluded to at the beginning, you're all no doubt very well aware of Riek Valley Craftsmen and the issues that have been going on around the 2016 application and a whole load of things thereafter. So I just wanted to sort of explain to you why I'd brought this to you today, really, and that's the purpose of what I choose to say. There is no question at all that the noise levels as a result of the application have caused significant stress to neighbours, specifically the nearest neighbours. I've been to the property and seen that for myself. I should add this was before the noise mitigation, but I've seen the effect that that's had on residents. Equally, though, we've got to be mindful of the fact that what is reasonable, what is proportionate here. Do we want to see a business close as a result of some decibels? And even there, we talked about before about the difference in decibels. What's 3 decibels? On the one hand, it's unaudible to the human ear. On the other hand, it's a 50% increase. I don't know. I'm not a noise expert. So there's been 3 years of huge disparity between the two. Technical people disagreeing with each other, to be honest with you, on decibel levels and all sorts. So it comes down to me as the borough councillor ultimately to look at this and go, really, I have seen the effect that it's had on the residents. That's for me beyond question. Versus, though, as I say, the effect this is having on the business, and I do appreciate that as well. So when I was asked to make the decision as to whether to go with officers' recommendation or not, given the history of the case that I've just outlined, I did not think it was appropriate for myself to do that, sitting in a room this absolutely, it was absolutely right that all parties had the right to address you, put their point across, and for you as a committee to make that decision and to come to a decision on that. So that's really the reason I brought it to you today, and that's a brief, incredibly brief history of the case, and yeah, as I said, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Poland. I have a number of councillors who wish to speak, and they are in order: Councillor Bevington, Councillor Seaton, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Tillotson, and Councillor Tassel. Thank you, Councillor Snart. Is there anyone else that would like to speak at this time? I'll begin with you then, please, Councillor Bevington.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I actually remember going on the site visit to this one and then the meeting afterwards when it was actually discussed about the fact that it would need silencing. There's been a lot of talk about the numbers, which is actually quite a significant problem, because what we're talking about is a situation where you've got a particular concentration, and I think it's about 400 hertz. DBA, the A stands for average, and it covers the whole range of audible sounds. So when you have a value, but it's all at a given frequency, it sounds much louder. So, which is one of the reasons. I mean, it is a major problem with noise, there's no doubt about it. It's very subjective. The reason why you get 3 decibels is a 50% increase is because it's a logarithmic scale. So I'm not going to go into the maths. It's a bit too complicated for this sort of discussion. But I actually think that the reason that they've got the problem is it's still there, is because I don't think anybody seems to have really understood what's causing it. I'm amazed that it's cost so much already, and I'm amazed that they haven't solved the problem. These are not major problems to solve. And I'm just shocked, and I think we ought to actually push for enforcement. They can't even agree on what figures are appropriate, you know, whether it's 41 or 36 or 42. I cannot see why it's so difficult to solve. They're relatively easy to solve once you know what the problem is. So I will be not supporting the officer's recommendation. I'm supporting enforcement.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bevington. I'm sure we'll be coming back to you. Councillor Seaton, please.
Thank you. Well, it's very easy to see what the problem is. The problem is noise and that's being generated. And living opposite a factory for many years, and now it's been rebuilt, and the offending machinery is booked to the rear. I understand what it's like living with that low noise that's continuously there. But anyway, by the by, the presentation was given to us in a way that would I read as we would be unreasonable. We would be unreasonable to carry out enforcement here. And my initial response was, well, yes, I think we would be unreasonable. I can't believe, for a start, it was 2016. I wish when I went I wore wellies because we had to walk all up the side, and I've noticed now it's all tarmacked. It certainly wasn't when we walked up there before and round the back. I can remember to be painted brown, and I can remember it wanting the soundproofing, whether it's damping sheets or whatever, but that was all the way round. I want to just state now, ask you, we've got an estimation here that you've also agreed to be unsatisfactory, because it's an estimation, I think. And then you've got one taken at midnight. Is this true? And who on earth took that at midnight? And why?
Just to come back on the point, I think my colleagues will help on the, you know, the detail around the basis of the studies that were undertaken by the independent contractors. But just on this point about, you know, my understanding of the first report was that the conclusions were ambiguous, and that I felt that that needed to be clarified to demonstrate how the independent contractor had come to the view that he had. So that's what I agreed with, not that it was an estimate or that it was incorrect. It was just that it was unclear how he'd arrived at that answer.
If I can just explain about the noise, there are different methods of measuring and calculating compliance with noise conditions. Ideally, the best way is to go out and measure it. But in this instance, when they tried to measure it in the day, there was many other noise sources happening at the factory, as well as ambient noises, church clocks, dogs barking, passing railway engines, all impacting on the noise at the time, which meant it was difficult to really separate out the noise from the dust extraction unit from anything else, because the conditioners at that time was deemed to consider only the extraction unit, not anything else from the existing factory. So because of the difficulties of identifying exactly what the fan and the dust extraction unit was causing, in addition to any other noise at the site, it was felt appropriate to actually try and isolate that particular piece of equipment and to therefore go when background noise levels had reduced to such an extent that it became the predominant noise, so that when we measured it, or when the independent consultants measured it, they knew it was just that unit.
So I just want to make a couple of points. I wanted to make it clear that there has been talk about a fan to the rear of the site and various noise comments about that. That is not part of this consideration today. Also, I just wanted to make it clear that the dampening sheets are at the top. The wooden at the bottom has been approved, so it's just the dampening sheets on the top of the unit. Yes, all the soundproofing at the bottom has been installed in accordance with what planning permission was granted. So it is just the top that we're looking at. Okay.
In that case, can I just ask you again to clarify what the sound decibels were at midnight?
They were 42, 43 dB.
Yes, I've got it here in the report. In the report at page 55, it says 42 to 43 decibels.
42 to 43.
Yeah.
And your target is?
Well, as I've explained. No, as I've explained earlier, unfortunately the condition doesn't specify an actual target figure. The condition requires a report to be submitted, that report to provide mitigation measures with the aim to get to the 41. And the mitigation measures of that report be implemented. It doesn't, however, say that if they don't hit the 41 by implementing all that measures, that they need to go back and do further tests or provide further mitigation measures. In addition, the condition does not require that the mitigation measures be maintained or retained. So the measures could be, like the dampening sheets on the three elevations, you could require that they're all put up, and I check that they're all put up, but I could walk away, and if they all come down or are taken down, I would not have any control to enforce that they be put back up again.
Okay.
Does that make it clear?
No.
No, okay.
Not
sorry.
At all.
Okay, sorry.
But, yeah, so they could put it up, they could play the game and put it up, and then a week later take them down, and you've got no control on that.
Unfortunately, with the wording of the condition, yes.
Yes, okay. No, I get that now.
Okay.
But bad condition then, wasn't it? Need to do better next time. So is our standard... is 41 recognised as acceptable? Tolerance.
Background noise, well, noise levels at night, 45 outside, is recognised by the World Health Organization that taking out 10, 15 decibels for an open window would achieve 30, 35 inside a bedroom. So, yeah, if it's less than 45, the World Health Organization would accept that. In the day, obviously, people aren't trying to sleep, so, yeah, 41 in the day would be acceptable. 42, 43 as well.
I recognise there's other work going on at the moment. Therefore, I will go with what I first thought, that we would be unreasonable. We would be deemed as being unreasonable. So I would go with the officer's recommendation to not to enforce just on that one. Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Seaton, is that a proposal? You are... Yeah, thank you very much. Just need to get it clear. Councillor Bentley, please.
Yeah, I'll second that, Madam Chair. And this is probably fairly obvious, but if a factory's been there 70 years and you're looking to move house and you move next door to a factory that's a noise generator, there's going to be some noise from that. It's the same way as if you move into the countryside and you live right next door to a dairy farm, you're going to get smells from the dairy farm. If you don't like those smells, it's probably wise not to move there. And I think we've done what we can do to try and mitigate problems. I've listened to what's been said about the decibel levels, and I'm reasonably convinced that what has been done is good enough. But I think that if it's possible, we should have a recommendation, if it's possible, that these dampers that are in remain in, even though it's not conditioned. I don't know whether there's any way that can now can be added.
Unfortunately, I don't believe there is any mechanism to be able to add that.
Okay, well, in that case then, if that's not possible, it's not possible. It's just a shame that it wasn't dealt with probably better at the time. But my decision to second this proposal remains the same.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Tillotson, please.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a real difficulty with this. We've heard much conflicting information. We've heard that it's 42 to 43 decibels at midnight, but acknowledging that during the day there is other noise that's going to make it significantly louder. If I understand the report correctly, even if we did enforce putting the sound modifiers on this piece of equipment, it's not going to resolve the problem anyway. And like Councillor Bentley, I'll put it slightly differently. If you buy a house next to a church, you shouldn't then complain about the bells. And there's 22 people's livelihoods at risk. But how many decibels is it really, is what I keep coming back to. So as things are now, I feel I will be abstaining because I just don't feel I've got enough information about what the volume of noise actually is. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Tassel, please.
Thank you. Well, Councillor Seaton said most of what I was going to say, but I'm just going to ask who did the estimation and who did the monitoring at midnight? Who paid for these people to do it, or were they paid? Did we actually bring in the environmental people from the environment office from Newark, which in Shepshire we've had exactly the same problem, and we've brought in the environmental people from Newark with their equipment to be there for several days and several nights. We have found out that several things, but we have residents that have had to change their windows from double glazed to triple glazed because they couldn't sit because of this noise. I'd like to know who has done these recordings to start with, and I would also like to know if the Environment Agency have been involved in this at all, both with this and with the shuttering to the fans.
Would you like to respond to that, please?
The noise reports in both cases were undertaken by independent consultants, Hepworths, who were based in Manchester, as independent. The Environment Agency from Newark weren't called in because they aren't the regulators for this site. I think the site you're referring to is permitted by the EA for animal feed. They regulate it, and therefore they're responsible for the conditions relating to noise.
Thank you. Do you want to come back, Councillor Tassel?
Yeah, that's fine, but I feel for these people that have got this noise in their background all the while. I'd hate it. And fans, when they've got a bearing going, it's not a big job to put it right, but it is an awful noise, and this is what, after many years of running fans, it could be. But nobody's bothered to try to find out exactly what it is that's causing the noise. It's coming from... It probably is the fans, but it could be other things as well. But anyway, I will be abstaining because I don't feel that I don't think I've got enough information.
Please.
I was just going to say that, you know, we were confident that the noise was mainly coming from the dust extraction unit and the fan. But obviously in the future, should a bearing go, that will take it out of the planning process and put it into possibly a statutory noise nuisance, which Environmental Health would investigate.
Michael, please.
I'm conscious that a couple of members have mentioned the fact that they feel they haven't got enough information to make a decision and are therefore proposing to abstain. Without wishing to put words in members' mouths, they may wish to ask what the prospects of getting further information might be and take a view on that.
Will you bear with me, please, colleagues? I'm going to stop you all going to that youth club, you know, you cause nothing but trouble.
Chair, before you say anything, Councillor Tassel and I have got a suggestion, and that is that that as many committee members as can go out in the daytime at a time agreed with us but not with the company, and we have a listen ourselves and see whether we think it's reasonable.
I will come back to you, Councillor Tillotson. Thank you. I have several people who are wishing to speak, and I do have other people on my list who have not yet spoken. I'm going to come back to
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate for members that the technical complexity of noise monitoring is difficult to form a picture in your mind as to what the impact that nearby residents might be experiencing as a consequence of this development. But I feel I must pull you back to what the condition is actually intended to achieve. It's very clear in the report on page 55, the four things that are required as a consequence of that condition. It says the council's taken advice about this. Just to be clear and explicit, we've taken council opinion on the condition. And you should be assured by that level of assurance. All we can do as a planning authority is consider the addition of damping sheets to three further elevations of that extraction facility. The report explains that the erection of those damping sheets is unlikely to make any further material benefit to the nearby resident. So we have to ask ourselves the question, in light of what the MPPF says about enforcement action, whether it is appropriate and proportionate and expedient in the public interest to insist on that, particularly given that there's no control within the condition to maintain that action in perpetuity. With respect to the noise reports, our officers are confident that they are an accurate representation of noise coming from the fan. They have been undertaken by independent consultants on behalf of the council. They are very clear about what the noise levels are. Going out and gathering further independent assessment isn't going to change the noise output unless there's been a failure in the fan housing or something like that, which, as far as we're aware at the moment, it's operating correctly. So I do ask the question as to what further evidence would give you, actually. But what I would do is pull you back to what the condition seeks to achieve and the four things that are on the screen behind me. Thank you.
Councillor Seaton, I know you want to speak again, but I do have others who have not yet spoken. So I am going to come now to... I haven't forgotten what you have said, Councillor Tillotson, but I come now to Councillor Snell, please.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I'll just ask a question through you first, and it does hinge around Condition 11. And all our thinking tonight should be the decision hinges around Condition 11. Can I just actually say that? And can I get the yes or no from the officer?
You're exactly right. It's only about Condition 11.
Well, for me, it has been an unsatisfactory ending, in my view. When I read paragraph 2, page 60, and I note the poorly, the detail on the recommendation, when it says Condition 11 does not require that a specific noise level be achieved or that the noise mitigation measures be maintained and or retained in perpetuity, and therefore it is not considered reasonable for the Council to pursue this matter any further. To me, where we are now is where we are, and it was poorly framed in the first instance, and that is what we've ended up with. I think in planning terms, we've got, in my view, no option than to go with officer's recommendation. But there is, I guess, and probably officers could tell me this, there are other avenues. If there are noise levels that are inconsistent with what was said, there are environment agency or environmental people that they should go to, and it may be a legal thing, I don't know, but possibly someone off the top table there could tell me.
Please. I'd just like to clarify that, yeah, once the planning decision has been made or the enforcement, there is still possible nuisance action, but at this stage we haven't determined that there is a statutory nuisance being caused. If something happens to the plant or the dampening sheets come off and the noise changes or increases, obviously Environmental Health will be able to investigate that.
Do you want to come back, Councillor Snart, at the moment?
I'm really quite clear that it's all to do with Condition 11, and in my view, it was poorly framed at the beginning. We are where we are now, and we have no option, which is unfortunate and unsatisfactory in my view. But I have to go with Officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm in all respect to what the officers have said, and in particular Richard. You know, Richard just said it's unlikely to change anything, but it could. Unlikely is one of those 50-50 words, in my opinion. You know, it could, it could not. Don't know. It was mentioned by one of the councillors that you know, you don't buy a house next to a church and then complain about the bells. You know, I fully agree with that, but you know, if you buy a house next to a restaurant, it then turns into a fun pub. You know, you've got reason to complain. Now, I'm led to believe that, you know, major alterations took place in 2016, and I actually sat on the Plans Committee during that, and we spent just as long debating the conditions, painting it brown was a condition that we added, putting these boards around the thing was a condition that we added. We spent a long time debating that, and we added them conditions. In my opinion, if there's a condition there, it should be enforced. We are setting a precedent, and I think the Speaker said, you know, by not enforcing a condition that we've imposed, I think we're letting ourselves down as Charnwood. We're letting ourselves down. Because how many more times are you going to sort of say, well, it really doesn't make any difference whether it's an oak tree or whether it's a pine tree? You know, if the condition is there for an oak tree, it should be an oak tree. It shouldn't be a pine tree. It might not make any difference to the ecology, but if you're putting a condition in place, you should enforce that condition. I will go against officer's recommendation on that, Chair. So, you know, I'll just wait now to see how the vote goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe.
I was just going to respond. In respect of the very first decision in 2016, the P15 application, that was delegated decision. It was the applications following that, with regard to the soundboarding and various alterations to the building. This condition was put on the very first application, so it was not one, I don't believe, that was considered by the committee at that time. The other thing I just want to make clear is from an enforcement point of view, the condition, unfortunately, does not say that the measures are to be retained and kept in perpetuity. And I'm sorry to have to keep going back to that, but it makes my life, from an enforcement point of view, difficult if it would need to go to court if the developer was to question our decision if I'm serving a breach of condition notice, and it could be quite difficult to defend.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for the clarification on the original condition. So what you're saying there is that original condition was wrote by officers, and the Plans Committee had nothing to do with that condition.
I believe that to be the case, yes.
Ms Harrison, please.
Yeah. Sorry, can I just add too that all enforcement action is discretionary to the Council. It's in the guidance and legislation that there's a test of whether it's reasonable and proportionate, as Sarah said. Because there's a condition there, it isn't automatic that it should be enforced all the way through. I just want to make sure that we're clear that there is that discretion.
That's why we're here. discussing this. You know, it's just I'm quite strong. If we put a condition on, and I'm sure many of the other councillors are as well, even, you know, the 40-odd councillors that are on the Borough Council, I'm sure we all feel the same. If a plans committee is putting a condition on, or the planning officers are putting a condition on, that condition should be enforced throughout.
I'll just remind you of the MPPF that says you have to be enforcing so it's reasonable too.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Campbell, please.
Thank you, Chair. No, I have nothing to say. I agree exactly with what Mark said. So I shall...
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Grimley, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief because Councillor had picked up a few of my points. I mean, clearly at the time, it wasn't the existing situation. It was an intensification of the use of the building, and the planners felt that a condition to mitigate the effects was justified to do that. Unfortunately, the condition is badly worded. I'm not quite sure. That's something to think about a bit more, whether or not it's something that we can enforce because of the wording of it. Unfortunately, it's a bad situation that we shouldn't really have got in, but we are where we are.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley. I have no other speakers wishing to speak for the first time. Councillor Seaton, I believe you wish to come back.
Yeah, I just want to visit that the damping board that is there. So there is no way that we can now say that that needs to stay there in place in perpetuity.
In respect to the boarding at the bottom, is that what you're talking about? Or are the dampening sheets on the top? The dampening sheet that's on the top, it was falling off at the beginning of the week. The council did not have the powers to require it to be replaced. However, the developer has replaced it. But there is no requirement in the condition that if something does fail or fall off, that the developer, you know, that we can take enforcement action against it. Yes, sorry, I've just been noted here that if, shall we say, something does fail, may not be that we can enforce it from a planning point of view, but from a noise nuisance, if it is considered to have be causing a noise nuisance, then environmental health can get involved.
Well, the levels that were taken at midnight will help that. So if it does fall off in the future and then the levels are taken again and they vary, we've got then proof that damper did work. So... okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Babington, I believe you wish to come back.
Thank you. Actually, part of what I was going to say has already been made as a point there, which is that if this stuff comes off, then in fact we're in a different environment. It's got nothing to do with the plans or the planning conditions. In fact, it's about nuisance. A noise nuisance is a totally different thing and could be handled totally outside this meeting. So although... you may not want or may not have any tools for enforcement, there are other tools available to deal with this problem in another manner. And I suspect that that's a sensible route to take.
Thank you, Councillor Bevington. Is there anyone else who wants to speak? If not, I'm going to come to the vote. We have a proposal from Councillor Seaton, seconded by Councillor Bentley, that we accept officers' recommendations, and that is, in this case, to take no further action. May I see a show of hands for that, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All those against?
4.
Abstention. 2 abstentions. So we go with officers' recommendation. In that case, the Right, sorry.
So I got 5 for the proposal to accept officer recommendations, 4 against, 2 abstentions, and the chair... Chair didn't vote. So just to clarify then that the proposal to accept officer recommendations that no further action be taken has passed.